that was the problem. Her grandmother had always warned her about gorgeous men, about handsome men, about men who looked too good to be true, because they always were. You couldn't trust them an inch. Her grandmother could have been talking about Levi King, since he was the prime example of everything Grandma Tilly had warned her about. Not only could he pick up scary insects in his bare hands, but his shaggy hair was dark brown, shot through with gold, and his hazel eyes had glints of gold in them, too. His skin was smooth and tanned and, in the sunlight, looked deep gold as well. His face was fallen angel beautiful. High cheekbones, straight nose, strong jaw, beautifully carved mouth. And he was tall, 6'3" at least. His shoulders were wide, his chest broad, hard and muscled, his waist lean, his legs long and powerful. He looked like he'd been chiseled out of marble by some master sculptor, and then given a scattering of gold dust for good measure. Not that she'd been looking or anything. No, she hadn't spent the last 2 months seemingly incapable of noticing anything else but him, and she definitely wasn't annoyed by it. She definitely wasn't annoyed about her apparent fascination with him in general, because she could ignore him at any time. Completely and utterly ignore him. After all, she'd come to Brightwater Valley in New Zealand's South Island to start a new business, along with her friends Isabella Montgomery and Bethany Grant, and she did not have time to be distracted by handsome men. The three of them had come from Deep River, Alaska. Oh, okay, so only Beth and she were from Deep River. Izzy was from Texas. Following a call from Brightwater Valley for entrepreneurs to start new businesses here as a way of reviving the town. Brightwater Valley was Deep River's sister town, and since both of them were small and isolated, they had a certain kinship. Indigo had made the trek to New Zealand along with Beth and Izzy, and the three of them had opened a gallery called Brightwater Dreams. It stocked jewelry and local arts and crafts, gourmet foods, and handmade soaps and skincare, plus a widening range of other products. Indigo's specialty was yarn. She'd learned all about knitting and fiber arts at her grandmother's knee, and what she particularly liked was dyeing. She was fascinated with color and loved nothing better than messing around with dye pots and discovering different colorways. What she did not love were handsome men sitting at the kitchen table of the farmhouse where she was living, spreading a whole lot of brochures out on said table, presenting them to her as if they were new. Because they weren't new. She'd seen them before. She'd been poring over them for the past couple of weeks, ever since Beth had fallen for and then moved in with Finn Kelly, and Indigo had realized she would need to find a more permanent place to stay. The real question, though, was how did Levi King know she'd been looking at brochures? How had he gotten his own? And perhaps most important, why did he think her living situation had anything to do with him? "Come on, Indy," Levi said, using the nickname he'd given her that she told everyone she hated, but secretly adored because no one had ever given her a nickname before. "Forget about the weta and sit down." "How can I forget about the weta? You called it Wally." This seemed important, that he'd named the weta. He only shrugged. "All wetas are Wally." Indigo stared at him blankly. "What?" "They just are." He raised his hands. "Sorry. I don't make the rules." "But don't worry about Wally. He's fine. Let's talk about your housing problem." Indigo was not worried about Wally. After dealing with the insect, Levi had come back into the house to tell her he had a solution to the issue of housing, and did she want to hear it? She did not. It had been her experience that handsome men were even more suspicious when they told her they had the answer to all her problems, because that generally turned out not to be the case.